The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
We've got fab results. I suppose we're going to talk about some standings tonight, too. We got the Warriors tying up Boston, making it 1-1. So I'm in a good mood. Hopefully everybody else is. We'll be talking a bunch of baseball, all with you coming up next. Happy Sunday evening, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Scott Genstead, joined as always on Sunday nights by Jeff Erickson. If you could please rate or review the podcast, it does help us a lot there. If you enjoy listening to us all season long, can leave a bunch of stars, a nice comment. Does help us out a lot, helps people find the podcast, which is also a very good thing, too. If you happen to be watching us live, watching the video, feel free to comment, chime in, any questions, comments, concerns, etc. We happy to interact there. Also, if you're listening to the audio version, we thank you for that, too. Jeff, Sunday night, it's June. How are you?
I'm good. Tired. Had another soccer tournament this weekend. 5 down, 1 to go. Our team's actually playing one more, but we'll miss that one. But
we talked off air. Tell us what your daughter's record is in their tournament so far.
Well, we lost today. So our first loss.
I want overall record.
18-1-1. We're good.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, so tough day, but you know, teaching moment, right? Team played a different tactic against us. They did it specifically for us, which in a way is an honor right there, especially when you're talking youth soccer. Right. It was a good day. We got out coached. So we'll do
teams
better.
Have to go like Steph Curry boxing one on you, you know you're doing something right, right?
Yeah, exactly. How well did that work out, by the way?
So after going 18-0-1, are kids upset to lose, or they're kind of like, "I was going to happen at some point"? All right.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the moment. It was frustrating. I mean, we had a million shots, million opportunities, just couldn't finish. But they handled it pretty well in stride, all things considered. I mean, it's been a joy of a season, and you know, I'm surprised we didn't lose an earlier one.
Right.
And I'm also surprised we lost this one, if that makes any sense.
Gotcha. But, that's awesome. So,
yeah.
Hopefully for the benefit of your team, none of them are Angels fans, Jeff, because it is rough in Anaheim right now. They have now lost 11 in a row, and it seems like each one is more impossible. Today they lost on a Bryson Stott 3-run homer after Joe Maddon took Raisel Iglesias out after 27 pitches and brought in Hurgut, gave up a 3-run bomb. It's funny, you and I talked about, we're like, the Angels are hanging in there against the Astros a couple weeks ago, and suddenly you blink, and they're 8.5 back. They're 1 under .500. The AL West looks like it's actually over.
Well, I mean, it's just – and we knew they were probably not going to be able to hold up, but I didn't think it would be in 2 weeks. 11 in a row, that's hard to do. And Trout hasn't had a hit in a week.
I think it's as long – he's like 0-25 or something, his longest hitless streak ever, I believe.
Yeah, the Yankees did a number on him, and then now – everybody else is doing a number on them too. So I have very few answers. You know, Thor is dropped off, which we kind of expect a little bit. But, you know, Iglesias blowing it today. Didn't see that coming.
Yeah. And then I thought the hook was too fast. He got the out in the eighth. And then, I mean, he hadn't pitched in 9 days. He didn't pitch the last 9 losses in a row they had. He's at 27 pitches, and you're bringing in Bryson Stott comes up. They're 9 hitter. He's a lefty, but you bring in Hurgut, however you say that. I just, at 27 pitches, I think I just let my closer finish it right there, right? Like, we win or lose with him on the mound. It wasn't like he was at 46 pitches. It's just, it seemed like a really odd move, and maybe Maddon just trying to outthink everybody. I don't know.
I'm not going to really hang this one too much on Madden, though, because, I mean, Iglesias did give up the granny to Harper.
To Bryce, yeah.
You know, and he, I think, and he did the right thing in terms of bringing Iglesias into that situation. It just didn't work out. We saw a couple situations like that today. Saw the Mets, too, where they brought in Diaz for the eighth.
But now that was a little different because they were losing when he got up. So I don't think they thought they were going to have a bottom of the ninth. So I wonder if they were ahead, if they would have done that. But yeah, I mean, I think once he warmed up and he had the top of the order, you go through that. But then, you know, then Lugo ends up blowing it the ninth. But then they did come back and win that game, right?
They did.
The Mets won the 10th. So yeah, they split with the Dodgers after losing those first two games. The Dodgers got swept by Pittsburgh. Looked really good beating the Mets twice. And the Mets came back pretty good. That was a pretty good series in Dodger Stadium this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. And the Dodgers, you know, they played 31 games in 30 days. They ended up like 19-12 in that stretch, but they lost five of the last seven this past week. I'm going to give them a pass. They're not in the same case. I'll say this about the Angels. Despite it's pretty damn hard to have an 11-game losing streak and still have scored more runs than you've allowed this year.
That's true. Their run differential is plus 11 shows how well they were playing before this streak. I mean, they were, or were they 27-17? They're playing really well. It's just, it's hard to lose 11 in a row in a season and come back from that. It's just like, if you just like manage to win like three or four of those, if you're like 4-7, 3-8, like that's not that big a deal, but God, 0-11 just kills you.
It doesn't get much. And check this out. Their next nine games are against four against the Red Sox, three against the Mets, and two at the Dodgers.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're home, finally. But, I mean,
still the opposite of a soft landing spot coming out of that streak, for sure.
Yeah, they're not out of it yet, perhaps.
It's funny, you mentioned the Yankees earlier. You know, we think of the Yankees, we think, like, these guys hit so many home runs. We think about Aaron Judge and his 21 home runs. The Yankees pitching is just freaking insane right now. I can't, it's just, it's so good. Their team ERA is 2.73 in the American League. They're better than the Astros by like 0.18, and then it goes down. They're like 0.5 ahead of any other team in the American League. They're all their starters. I think Jordan Montgomery was at 3.04 before today. I guess he probably went down a little bit, but that's their worst starter ERA of their five guys. It's crazy how well they've pitched. He's at 3.02 right now. He's bringing up the rear.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really nuts. It really is nuts. And this is while the offense has picked up around baseball a little bit in the last month or so too. It's not quite happy fun ball. It's like merry,
mildly pleased ball.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a synonym for fun, but you know, I'm not thinking very clearly tonight. So, but it's not quite there. But it's
still definitely not April 15th ball at the moment either.
No, it's not.
I mean, you look at their starters, and Jordan Montgomery's got a 1.01 whip, and that's the worst whip of their starters. And it's crazy. And then you got Clay Holmes comes in, his ERA is 0.34. Michael King has, you know, top five strikeout percentage out of the bullpen. And this is doing this out without Aroldis Chapman. They're doing without Chad Green, who's having Tommy John. I mean, it's crazy how many arms they have all over the place. It's kind of fun. I like Jameson Taillon a lot. Severino coming back. It's good to see some of these guys, you know, come back and return to being really, really good. Always a matter of health with some of these names, but I don't know. You get in a playoff series, these guys are healthy. They're gonna be tough to beat.
Absolutely, absolutely. They're rolling right now. And they're doing it with some guys out. No Britton all year. Chapman's out still, and he was bad before that.
Do you think Chapman? What do you think happens when Chapman comes back? I know he's throwing right now. He seems like the arm's fine, just the Achilles. Do you think they just stick with Holmes? Do you think they share it? Chapman had a quote saying, you know, he doesn't care what he does as long as, you know, they're all pitching well in the bullpen. What do you think the Yankees do with that situation?
I've been on record, and I was kind of like hot takey on SiriusXM this week, saying that there's a non-zero chance Chapman doesn't get the job back. First of all, he wasn't pitching that well. You know, he may not have blown a save technically.
I definitely think it's non-zero, but where do you put it if you had to stick a number on it? Because I think it's more than 50% that they let Holmes keep it right now.
You're in my camp then.
Okay. Yeah, I am. I just think that
I think Holmes really finished with 20 plus saves this year.
There you go right there. That'll do it right there. So the reason I ask is Aroldis Chapman was available in one of my main events. He was dropped last week by Dalton Del Don. There was, people were surprised by that drop. When you look at it, Dalton has, last time I looked, I haven't let him stand in front of me. He had 12 more saves than anybody else in our league. Mm-hmm. He's got three other closers. Chapman was on the IL. He needed the spot. Like, I thought it was a pretty defensible drop. I mean, Chapman's hurt, may not get the job back, hadn't been that good. His team situation is like perfect that he just doesn't need him. He went for 151. So the bidding was not overly crazy. I was in, but nowhere near that high, just because I have like 2.5 closers there. I just didn't really need one. And I just don't know. Right. I don't think he's going to get the job back fully, but certainly an interesting name to see dropped in May.
It is. I understand initial reactions are like, how can you drop him?
Right.
And then I think if you think about it a little bit more,
yep.
You know, why should Dalton be able to be required to play a man down than everybody else? I mean, right. That's essentially what he'd be doing, because he doesn't need him. Yeah. He just doesn't need him.
And it gets money out of the free agent pool, which I think is a small side effect of that. 150 right. bucks out. I think you probably thought he'd go more than that, but I'm looking at it right now. He has 42 saves. Dalton does. The next highest team has 30. So like, worst case, one or two teams catches him by the end of the year, but probably not. And he still has, I forget who's closing. And I know he has Liam Hendricks and he has two other guys. He has Duvall and someone else. Duvall might not be the closer anymore. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. But yeah. I mean, just in a spot where you got to do what's best for your team and kind of who cares, what the rest of the league thinks of it. I mean, I thought it was a perfectly defensible move.
I think it is. I still think it is. I would say I'd go beyond that. I think it's almost an obvious move for Dalton.
Yeah, I think it made sense too. And it was we went for 151, but the backup was 92 there. So obviously, I definitely see bidding on him too. I mean, if he gets the job back, you know, he could be a top 12, 15 closer the rest of the way too.
Let's face it, half the league needs a guy that take a chance on him.
In a 15-team league, I mean, there's only 23, 22 clubs or something like that. There's a lot of people who are playing with one or one and a half.
Yep.
Jeff, you got to say right now, we've talked about this a bunch, is who's the worst team in baseball, the Royals or the A's? Who are you going with for the worst team?
It's not the Reds?
It's not the Reds.
Okay.
You don't think it's still the Reds, do you?
They lost 3 of 4 at home to the Nats this weekend.
Mm-hmm. The A's have lost 6 in a row, and they're 1-9 in their last 10.
They played the Red Sox this weekend, so I'm going to give them a little bit of a pass there. But
the A's are the most boring team in baseball.
They are pretty damn boring. Royals are pretty boring too.
Every once in a while, Bobby Witt comes up or Sal Perez comes.
Melendez, they have prospects coming up.
Like, yeah. There's nobody where like the A's, when the A's are hitting, I'm like, oh, I better flip it over because so and so is up. There's not one guy, and I can't remember that ever being the case. If Frankie Montas does not pitch, they are just almost unwatchable, which I don't think I've ever said as an A's fan. It is that bad.
Yeah, come see Jed Lowry's 37th double. I mean,
right? It's just brutal, and Sean Murphy's hitting under 200. Seth Brown's it's rough all the way around.
Malaise feeds off itself. You know, I can see Murphy, Murphy might have struggled anyhow. He might have been that bad anyways, but I guarantee you, when you have that whole sense of malaise, you know, the front office is giving up on you, that it probably affects performance. Yeah, you don't see any fans in the stands. And I'm not blaming the fans, of course. I don't blame. The Royals are probably worse now as a team, but I think the A's pitching is better.
Yeah, that's probably true. I think the Royals are definitely more interesting. It's bad. It's funny. We talked about the Astros kind of putting away the AL West. The Yankees are up 7.5 in the AL East. The Mets are up 8.5 in the NL East. But the Braves and Phillies are kind of coming on a little bit. Braves have won 5 in a row. Phillies have won 4 in a row. Do you think one of those teams can make a run at the Mets? Do you think the Mets kind of run away with this thing?
Well, they don't have to make a run at the Mets. I think this is the key thing.
Get in the wild card.
They have to make a run at the wild card. Yeah. The Braves are 2 games out in the wild card. The Phillies are 4.5. The Phillies are 4 games under 500 despite winning 4 in a row. So you kind of like, and 3 of those were against the Angels, at the expense of the Angels. But yeah. they fired their manager. So, they fired Joe Girardi. They're getting that, maybe that dead cat bounce. I mean, you look at the roster though. I mean, it's not a bad roster. It's ill-formed, it's misshapen, but it's still a roster that has a lot of talent on it. The starting pitching and offense, they can do those two things well. That's half the equation, maybe even more, maybe like 3/5 the equation, depending on what role you assign to defense and relief pitching. But defense is hideous. That's always going to be a problem with Philly. And then the relief situation is just awful. And I don't know what Girardi was supposed to do about that. I've kind of said tongue in cheek, aha, you know, good thing they solved the bullpen by firing Gabe Kapler. You know, I do think he got kind of scapegoated for how this franchise was built their bullpen. But I think that the Braves, I mean, we've seen that they can make a run. Yeah. We saw it last year. And that they're willing to make moves to help make that run too.
The Bryce Harper stuff is wild. I mean, we know he's playing with an injury that if there was no DH, he wouldn't be playing around. He can't play defense. He can't throw. The days of Bryce Harper not fully living up to his potential are fully out of everybody's vocabulary. Finally, I mean, the dude is unbelievably balling right now, hitting 309, 13 home runs, 40 RBIs, 39 runs. He has 6 stolen bases too. Like, just what he's doing with this injury, I know that he obviously can hit, but I mean, still got to be bugging him. 51% hard hit rate, 16% barrel rate. Dude is among the elite of the elite in every way.
Yeah. The one thing I have him in one of my two mains, we have him, Tim and I want to make sure he gets credit too, but I'm paranoid about them shutting him down.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I can do about it. There's just no action I can take. And a keeper league,
them,
it's different.
Them winning games and playing well is a really good thing for you guys though.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I have him. I do have Harper and a Dynasty / keeper. It's called XFL. The salary component, and it's OBP, so he's even more valuable there. And so I'm super paranoid there.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. I mean, hit the grand slam today. I'm in a spot where like he's got a homer or they lose that game. Like it was that point they were down. I think they were down 4 at the time. He tied up the game.
Yep.
It was wild. But so speaking of your main event team, I think it's, you know, it's June. It's a good time to kind of take a look, assess where you're at. How are your teams doing? I know that some people on Twitter talked about me wanting to talk about some of my teams.
No one wants to talk about my team, Scott.
One of my teams is doing really well. But how are you doing before we get into that?
Third and fifth, respectively, in my leagues.
It's a good spot. That's a good spot to be in as we start. Play, like, yeah. That's, yeah.
I can. It'll play. Overall, I don't think it's that great overall. I think around 200 or so.
Okay. There's 700 something teams. So that's
189 and 236 to be exact. Nowhere in the strike. I'm not in the striker zone.
Goodness gracious. Damn war dog. are you the feeling that you're in a good spot though? Do you feel you're kind of just hanging on to those spots? Like how do you kind of feel as we get into the last?
I feel okay. The Vegas team, I actually thought was a little shakier. It's doing a little bit better right now. And we get Tatis back eventually at some point in time.
And suddenly May has made you feel a little better about not taking Byron Buxton too.
Yes, that is also true. I mean, there are other mistakes were made, but yes, that one is not feeling bad. I feel really darn good about taking Jordan Alvarez. That one's the kind of the gift that keeps on giving.
He might be a sneaky best top five hitter in baseball right now. He's so everything fun. He does. He just hits the ball all fields. He's so damn good.
Yeah. He is. He is. You know, Will Smith, I mean, he homered today. He's fine. It might not be passing over Bucks, and it could be passing over something else, but
I just remember. I just remember the talk was how late Buxton went in your guys' league.
Yeah,
we talked
one
about
pick
that,
after but, that, and yeah. Toby's doing better in that league, by the way, too. He's the Buxton manager. He's in second. I'm in third in that league, and of course, Posma's winning it. So,
Posma's everywhere. I'm in an online championship with him where I'm pretty high up, and like it just I thought he'd be way ahead, and he's just right behind me. He's just so good across the board.
Yep, he makes a lot of right moves. So, you know, we just keep battling in there, but it's fine. It's funny. Like I thought I'd regret holding on to Josh Rojas so long. Rojas has actually played pretty well since coming back. Had some big moments. We've made a couple little mistakes here and there, but it's a fine team. I thought my online team would be a little bit better. And it was for a while. It was really good for a while.
I remember that.
It's tailed off a little bit. We've fought a lot of injuries. Eloy being out for a long time didn't help.
He just keeps having little setbacks too. It's frustrating.
Well, and the other thing is too, it's like we've got like three or four hitters hurt all at the same time. And we've had multiple instances where we've had dead spots for a while. Yeah, and you can only have so many guys on your bench, right? And
they're all hitters you can't consider dropping. It's not fringy kind of guys either.
Well, Adames and Eloy. Now maybe we should have dropped Joey Wendell. Maybe that was the answer. But we've got a wealth of starting pitching in that league. Our team ERA in that league is 289. We knew it'd be We knew it'd be a good pitching team. We knew that a starting pitching team. Been a little wins unlucky, but you know, it's a good team, I think, for the most part.
I kind of like when you have one, like you're really good something, because you guys can really focus your fab on hitting. You can really kind of focus your bench on
and
hitting.
Closers. And closers is what we have to focus on. Because we came out of the draft with a half a closer, Scott Barlow, and a couple of stabs. Right. We picked up Clay Holmes. Took us a little long to activate him.
That's a pretty damn nice pickup, though.
Yeah. So, see, also, I need Clay Holmes to get 20-plus saves, so we'll see about that. But, I mean, why would you move him right now unless you felt like he's capable of giving you extra length?
I don't think they move him unless he, like, struggles a little bit and Chapman comes back and starts gassing people. Because the thing with Chapman is the walks are fine when he can go out there and gas everybody at 101 miles an hour. He can walk two guys and strike everybody out, but it's just not the same. The swing strike rate is not the same. The strikeout rate's way down. He still throws 97, which is, you know, obviously ungodly fast, but when he used to throw 101, like, it makes a big difference. Like, the slider doesn't, you can kind of wait an extra, you know, it's not a half second, a tenth of a second on the slider, but for major league hitters, that matters. His strikeout rate's 23%. I know it's a small sample, obviously. He's got, what, 14 innings, but, at least the first month and a half of the season, he was a different pitcher.
And I don't think money will play a role in their decision because this is the last year of his contract.
Yeah. Miguel Anderholm might argue with that, considering Joey Gallo and Aaron Hicks are playing over him.
Yeah, but what's Miguel Andujar hitting anyhow?
Like 230?
Yeah, it wasn't super special.
Three stolen bases, though.
Yeah, I know.
And all, sorry. I take it back. He's hitting 270.
Andujar's in 270 now?
Yeah, but only 43 plate appearances before they sent him down on Friday, but then he's obviously upset about that.
Yeah, well, and he's got a 279 OBP. So in real life, he's got a 596 OPS. Why are we all up in arms about this? I don't get it.
Is Joey Gallo's hitting a .160 or something like that?
Yeah, okay, fine. You know, but it's not like Andujar is the hitter equivalent of Clay Holmes.
Right. It's not like he's out there hitting 340 and mashing homers and they're like, why are you sending me down? But and he hasn't really been good since, 2018, something like that?
Yeah. Now he's got his playing time has come in fits and starts. I get that.
That's part of it. Yeah. It's interesting. So my team is up there, as I'm sure you know. I think I'm fourth overall right now on my online team. And it's just it's been fun. It's
well, and you're really 71st in the other team too, for that matter.
I think I'm 71st in the other team and doing pretty well there. That one's a little has some more work to be done, but it's funny. You look at the team that's third overall, and like I took a dead spot in the ninth round. I took Akil Badu in the ninth round, and it's just literally dead. I took Tyler Mahle in the 11th round. It's nothing but hurt me in that pick, and I've used him for all those weeks. So it just shows how interesting it is. And then look at Ranger Suarez in the 14th round. Like, there's a lot of mistakes in that draft. Guys who have not worked out. It just shows that. Bobby Dalbec in the 15th round. So that's four of my top 15 picks have either been negative helps or literally zeros. So it shows how much you could do with a couple of late round picks. People ask me, you know, what's been good about it. It's good to break out. I Tony Gonsolin in the 20th round and Kyle Wright in the 28th round. Like, that's just when you get two pitchers like that that have been so good the first couple of months, obviously, who knows what happens if Gonsolin can stay healthy, if Kyle Wright can stay good. But I mean, you get two guys that you can throw every single week. In the 20s, it makes a huge difference. It makes up for those early mistakes.
It does. It really does. Gonsolin's been huge. Now, did you do a certain draft strategy? Is there something you did right there that maybe you didn't do? And
as I morphed along and kind of worked on it, my draft strategy was pretty much to go multiple hitters early. I like the pitchers more in the 5th to 10th round than I did paying up for the 2nd, 3rd round. I just didn't like after like. Scherzer and Giolito went in the 2nd round. I didn't want Bieber. I didn't want Nola. I didn't want Urias. I didn't want Buehler. I didn't want Robbie Ray. Alcantara obviously would have been nice. I probably would have taken Freddy Peralta. Thank goodness he went to pick before me in the 3rd round. Yeah. I took Bobby Witt there. Has not been great, but stolen some bases. Has come on a little bit lately, but that pick has not been great. Then Ryan Pressly in the 4th round has been, you know, okay. But he's pitched, but he's been hurt twice. But then I got Tanner Rainey and Paul Sewald late, so I kind of went one closer for a long time also. Yeah. Those guys have both pitched well. They haven't got a ton of saves, but saves are definitely going to be the one spot where I'm going to have to kind of grind and work it out because Pressly has to stay healthy. He's got to stop getting ejected from games, first of all. By the way, that was an absurd objection.
Yeah, of course it was.
And the warning was so dumb. Like, you're up four and you kind of those, he's trying not to hit anybody, but yeah, like those, I need those fringy guys. I wish I got Clay Holmes. There would have been really nice. I do have Emilio Pagan there, which is scary as hell. And
yeah,
but it's been nice. And then like Joe Ryan was huge for me. And obviously I need him to come back. He's still on the COVID IL. Sonny Gray's been great, but hurt twice. But just mostly like just solid. I mean, I took Mookie Betts and Devers the first couple rounds. They just been both been unbelievably good.
Yeah, I was just gonna say you pounded the hitting. I mean, you got Dylan Cease with all those strikeouts. You got Montas with all his strikeouts.
Boys, need playing a different team though.
Yeah, well, that'll probably happen. Yeah, I think so. He and Luis Castillo both get dealt.
Yeah. But yeah, and then I kind of went boring in seventh and eighth. Jose Altuve and Jose Abreu, and Abreu started really slow coming on a little bit, but Altuve's kind of, you know, jumped in with a lot of stuff. I wish I had that Akil Baddoo pick back. I just, you know, the speed power was appealing to me. It's been really, really rough with that one and having him. And obviously I dropped him like 3-4 weeks, whenever he got sent down, I finally dropped him that week. I finally dropped Bobby Dalback the week before, but it's fun being up there. It's a little, I'll admit that, you know, I wouldn't say stress the right word, but work harder on Fab. On that team, I think about it more. I look more at like I think you and I talked a couple weeks ago. I had that the Cease Malley 14 earned run game, and I'm like, oh my god, this is brutal. But trying to stay, you know, not as high on the highs, not as low on the lows, and kind of grind it out. I mean, it's June 5th. It's not that I don't like talking about it. I just don't like talking about things when they're going well. I'm superstitious or anything. I just don't like talking about it. I'm just one of those people that doesn't like the attention. I know that's a little bit weird considering that my name's out there and I do this and talk about baseball, but I more just like talking about baseball than myself. But it's gone well. It's been fun. I certainly it means something to be up there now. It doesn't mean a lot. You still got 4 months left. I've been up there high in August and it hasn't worked out. So I'm just kind of one of those people that you know, if I'm there, if they're there a little bit later, I'll worry about it. But right now, just kind of trying to play it like I would any other team.
What is your strength in that team and what is your weakness? Like
strength is definitely starting pitching has been very, very good. My ERA is I'm top of my league in ERA and WHIP. Saves are definitely the concern. I only have 22 saves. I have Presley and like this triumvirate of Pagan, Seawald, and okay. Rainey, and like trying to figure out which one to start is hard enough. This week I actually started all four because I had Joe Ryan out, I had Sonny Gray out. I didn't want to start Ranger Suarez. So I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna take this week and throw them all on. I think I got six saves. I think Rainey had two, Seawald had two, and Presley had two. So that was huge. But and then RBIs, weirdly enough, like a lot of home runs, a lot of runs, but RBIs have been a little bit tough. So I'm gonna focus on making sure that I get my RBI guys in there. The pickups have worked out well too. I picked up Trevor Larnach the week before he hit the home runs. I picked up Cole Calhoun 2 weeks ago before he got hot. So,
wow, that worked.
I picked up John Birdie last week. He had what, three steals this week, something like that.
Yep.
So the pickups have worked well. I think you have to kind of move up there. You've got to have some pickups work out well. Ryan Jeffers is concerning to me. He was 0-16 this week, so I may need a second catcher at some point. But pretty well balanced overall. I would say that the biggest hurdle towards competing overall right now was kind of finagling those saves and making sure Ryan Presley is probably the most important person on the whole team. Cause if he were to go down again, I'd just be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. I hear you on that. And yeah, that was a weird one today. Like you said,
I'm just glad it wasn't a save opportunity. Cause that would have been awful to lose it with two outs.
Right. It was 7-3. They brought him. So that was also, and remember they added the tack on runs in the top of the ninth to prevent him from getting a save opportunity.
So if it had been like 5-3 and he had two outs and nobody on base and he got ejected, I would have been really pissed. But I was like, all right, and of course his run scored. The guy came in and walked the next guy and then gave up three hits or a walk or something like that. But
sure.
No biggie there. So again, I'm trying not to, you know, just trying to go day by day and not get too fired up about it. But it's certainly a lot more fun when you're up there than not. Starting well is definitely a very good thing. Yeah. Couple of questions in the chat. Would you drop Anthony Santander for Tommy Pham, Joey Gallo, or Michael Harris second? If I were going to do it, it'd probably be for Pham, who's come off this the slapping and calf incident. I think it was a calf pretty well. For me, it'd be Pham or Santander. I'd probably go Pham.
Depends on what you need. If you need some stolen bases, Fam. If it's power, Santander.
Yeah, I think that's a good call there. But anyway, let's jump into Fab now. We've talked about our teams. How did Fab go for you this week? Let's start with starting pitching. I think it's the Injury spot this week. The biggest name out there was Edward Cabrera. He was called up by the Marlins, pitched really, really well at Coors Field, which is, you know, obviously something that gets everybody's attention. He was only rostered in 19% of the main events. He was rostered in 1% of the online championships. He was not drafted in many leagues, so he's not been picked up. He would have been picked up last week everywhere because he was getting called up, but he was a lot of leagues he wasn't drafted, so he wasn't available. How aggressive were you guys with Cabrera? Obviously, a ton of strikeouts, but a ton of walks that comes with that is the concern there. Definitely looked good. The first game had a 94-mile-an-hour changeup. I think everybody was freaking out about on the GIF patrol on Twitter. But how aggressive with you? I was at I was at 98, and I was the backup bid. He went for like 197 in my league, but so I was the backup, but not really that close.
I was not aggressive enough. 98 would have got him in both of our leagues, but both of my leagues, by the way.
Was 75 in the wrong league with that one, man.
75 to 54 and one and 52 to 48. We were obviously less than that. He was like my top guy, but I was like around in one of them. We got copious starting pitching, so keep that in mind.
Right. One of mine, it was the one of the 90% he was actually drafted and held the whole time too.
Yeah. One of them, we went 27 in one of them and 39 in the other. We didn't get him in either league, but unfortunately didn't get him, but would have been nice. He was definitely on the list of guys to go after. We ended up getting Ross Stripling instead with his two starts.
I had him on our list this week. The at KC at Detroit definitely jumped out to me as if you're going to take a risk on a two-step. Those are pretty good ones to attack.
Yep. Got him in both mains. So big Ross Stripling week here. What could possibly go wrong?
That's always what you want to hear in June, right? Oh, we're big on Ross Stripling this week.
Big, big. Blue Horseshoe likes Ross Stripling. Yes. It's going to be tough. But, you know, I just don't want to get gombered. That's all.
Yeah, you don't want to get Fettied either. That was this week. Eric Fettie was brutal. I think he gave up like 10 earned runs this week, something like that.
But yeah, yeah. You can get that way. You can, you know, you're hoping to get like Smeltzer where you got.
Yeah, that was one nothing you on that one. I was like, I don't really like that ad. He pitched really well this week. Get at least one win, right?
Got the win. He only went four today. Okay. So it was kind of a little frustrating because he would have, had he hung around for one more inning, would have got the win. But you know, that hang around inning.
Yep.
That can be where you go from two runs allowed to all of a sudden six and you don't get the win anyhow.
Yeah, I've been there many a time for those. It's always like, I'll just get through five. And then you're like, oh, suddenly I have five earned runs on my slate here. But yeah, Cabrera's interesting because Cabrera actually pitches twice this week too. So, I mean, that added to the fun. He faces the Nationals. Then he's at Houston though. So that is that's one that like, oh, I'm really happy about that first start. And then you get at Houston and it's kind of a duck and cover start right there.
It is. It's not like the Dodgers or Mets, I feel like, but you also have a lower strikeout upside too against them.
They're a team that scares me a little bit when we start walking guys too, because I feel like they're going to just kind of
Walk.
Yeah. They will walk, and then you get, you know, you walk a couple guys, and you know Yordan or Bregman come up, and it can get scary. But that second start's concerning. But he's fun to watch. I'll tell you what, anybody throws a changeup 95, that's some bonkers stuff.
Stay right healthy.
There. Yeah, for sure. Another rookie that came up and pitched well this week for the Guardians, Connor Pilkington. He has another one that like you look at it like, yeah, I don't know. But then you see the strikeout rate. It was really good in the minors in 2021 in Double-A. Strikeout rate was over 30% he was with the White Sox. Then he was with the Guardians franchise. You look again, two-step. Home Texas, home Oakland. Like that's a really lines up really well. Pitched well in his last start. Were you guys in on Pilkington at all?
We had bids. My enthusiasm's tempered by the fact that he's only gone five innings and one outing so far this year. He has 10 walks and 17 innings also. So, and the name. He should be like Connor Pilkington the fourth. Right. I made this joke in the XFL draft that I did today. But
he should be catting for Judge Smales for sure.
Yeah.
In Cincinnati, talk to me about your boy Graham Ashcraft coming off a good start. I looked a little closer at Ashcraft and I was not overly interested. I was just I was kind of underwhelmed as I looked closer. There's not many strikeouts. I know he's pitched really well, but I was kind of pulled back my bidding after I took a closer look at Ashcraft off the good start.
Yeah, I have him in a couple of places. Throws hard. He actually throws 101.
Ooh,
so even though the Ks aren't there yet, I feel like they could be someday.
Yeah.
But there's going to be some growing pains. It's a home start this week against Arizona. And then a road start at St. Louis. I mean, the problem is that home ballpark. You don't love saying home start, but then again, he pitched well against the Giants in his first time against them. So he could overcome the park. But then again, he could get Tyler Mahle too.
The park is really, really playing badly this year too.
Yep. You could get mauled.
They're the top. It's the top field for in run factor or park factors in home runs by a big margin over. I think it's Dodger Stadium second, and then it's overall park factor. It's number one, and Coors Field's number two right now. It's a nasty place to pitch right now.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Oh, Stanford beat Texas State. Jeff going to the do or die game tomorrow against Texas State.
That's nice. I love this level of the fighting to get to Omaha.
It's tough. You get the double elimination. You lose once early, and the road back. And Stanford had to win twice today, then has to win again tomorrow. And once you lose once, that road back is tough.
Yeah, and then, actually, this isn't even the super regionals. It's just the regionals.
Super regionals would be next weekend, but
which I also love. I think it's fantastic.
I didn't even know really Texas State was a thing. I've been watching these last couple of games against Stanford. Texas State can hit. They got some guys. It's crazy. They can mash.
There's been some scores posted. Yeah. I'm like. Yeah. What is going on here?
It was at Oklahoma
State. Happy football has reached college.
Oklahoma State was the one that scored 29 yesterday or something like that. And they were they were down 12-0 and won 28-18 or something crazy like that. It was wild.
Big 12.
Yeah, I guess that day kind of goes across football and baseball then, right?
Yeah, I guess.
What about in Chicago? Keegan Thompson is someone who's available in some leagues, some 15s, a lot of 12s. Has pitched really well so far. ERA is under 2 for the Cubs. Now he's actually starting games. He started 4 of his last 5 outings, if he starts, two starts, he pitched 5 innings. So kind of getting to the point where he can get you some wins and kind of get you where all the categories can be met. Do you like Thompson, someone who might be helpful as we go forward here?
Yeah, I grabbed him in yogurt like a week or two ago.
Nice, ahead of the game. I like it.
Yeah, I needed pitching badly. I don't even know how much ahead of the game I was. But, you know, he's pitching at Baltimore this week. And yep. Normally we say, oh, at Baltimore, but not this year. There started to have been some home runs at the puzzle piece cutout part of the field.
For like 2 months, it was only Aaron Judge could hit home runs over that part of the wall. But it's getting to be, I think, warming up ball a little bit, starting to be not quite as crazy. But you mentioned Stripling. We talked about a few guys here. I think, you know, Cabrera was obviously the big prize in pitching. Was there anybody else that you guys are really after in pitching this week?
No, it was a tough week to find guys.
I felt like I looked like 5 times, and every time I looked, it was like Ashcraft, Pilkington, Cabrera, and maybe a little Thompson, maybe a little Stripling. I really had trouble finding anyone that was remotely interesting, which is tough. Dakota Hudson was available in one of my mains. I was the backup bid. I've never been a huge Dakota Hudson person, but he kind of just seems to wait to get it done. But he's never get a lot of strikeouts, but. Pitches for a good team. Pitches for a team that gets results out of guys. I was in on the bidding, but got up him and like 13% strikeout rate. Like it's a fine line. You better pitch really well because you're not getting strikeouts.
I will say the Cardinals are a strong defensive team.
Yeah,
and so that helps.
Yeah, and they're just
at least they were strong last year. I'm not sure if they're strong this year because they've had so many injuries. But I think that typically I want the Cardinals defense behind my pitchers, so that's good.
To the person that posted in the chat about the pitching staff, your pitching staff is absolutely insane. So I think you're going to be good with that one right there. Those are all good pitchers right there. Jeff, let's jump into relievers. But first, a note from our sponsors at Blue Wire.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thank you for indulging that. We appreciate the sponsorship there. Jeff, relief pitchers, it's been a weird month here. I have an online championship team that's up there. I think it's like 30th overall, something like that, that needs a closer badly. There's always closers out there in 12s, and they just aren't right now. It's been four straight weeks. I picked up Devin Williams for a week. I've kind of moved back and forth, but it's hard to find guys. There's just not jobs changing hands right now. The situations that are kind of muddled or staying muddled. We have a lot of teams that just aren't anybody you want to pick up. Was there anybody on the relief pitching side that you were adding this week? You know, Tanner Houck was warming for the Red Sox in the ninth, but it's clear like they may use him a little bit more there, but they kind of like him multi-innings. The A's situation is opening up a little bit. Danny Jimenez has struggled a little bit. The Giants is a mess right now. Camilo Duvall pitching the sixth one night, then ninth the next night. Daniel Hudson in LA, Kerry Kimbrell had some mechanics issues, but he kind of came back well. Any of those names interest you? Was there anybody else you were looking at? What'd you kind of do with the relief pitching market this week?
So Hudson was of interest to us. Tanner Scott, a little interesting. Yep. I mean, because one ex-Orioles relief pitcher trying to get the stab at the Marlins closer job was not enough in Cole Sulcer, and the disaster of a week. I mean, that was a reliever version of Gombert right there, Sulcer. Yep.
And it was right out the bat, too. It was Monday, boom, four earned runs. It was
in the seventh inning.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they
not only comes in early, but gets housed when he comes in.
Yeah. And then they did give him a chance to close later in an extra inning game. And he gave up and immediately gave up a walk off with the ghost runner on, too. Yep. So, I mean, it was just awful all around. So we didn't get Tanner Scott because we actually got Stripling. Arguably, we might have needed the closer better, more. So hopefully that doesn't come back to haunt us. But really, I mean, as Hudson was in some leagues, most leagues he was rostered already. And, you know, it was just ugly. We did a XFL again. We do monthly supplemental drafts. So a lot can happen over the course of a month. You figure there's going to be four or five closers that you can pick up. There was Clay Holmes. That was it. And then Colin Pache, who got three saves in the month of May, in the last month. But seriously, do you count on him even getting the next save chance?
I don't. I mean, in Tampa, you never know what's going to happen, but I certainly don't. I mean, and you mentioned Tanner Scott. Like, I like the strikeouts, but man, those walks just scare the crap out of me with the closer.
Yeah.
Like, it's always above. I mean, he's never had a walk rate below 11.5%. It's just tough in the ninth. It's tough when you come in with one run lead and you kind of you start walking people.
Yep. Yep. That's right.
I added Dominic Leone.
I like that.
Do you want to indulge Justin Mason first of all?
Oh yeah, he congrats to you for having the 69th overall team in the main event and talk about enjoying your good starts and all that, et cetera, et cetera. Well, moving on.
I'll let Justin know that I did listen to the last 2 minutes of the Sleep in the Bus podcast, so I am not taking any congratulations from him because they were ripping on me for my quote fake humility. So we're gonna not indulge that. It was him and Paul Spohr totally kidding, but it was funny. I was laughing as they finished up their podcast the other day. But I like Dominic Leone as an ad. The Giants are kind of all over the place right now. Duvall's all over. McGee's all over the place. Tyler Rogers got smoked the other night. Dominic Leone has a 29.7% strikeout rate right now and a 4.1% walk rate, 18.4% swing strike rate. Like, if you just look at the skills, everything looks really good. He's given up a few home runs. I think the walk rate's been an issue in the past. He's been over 10% the last 3 years. One of those is 2020 with nine innings, so I can kind of throw that out. But if this walk gain is actually true, he's really interesting. He's pitched the best in that bullpen. I don't trust Gabe Kapler not to, you know, just kind of muddle this up and go fluid and committee the whole time. But I think Leon's pitching the best of anybody in that in the situation right now.
Oh, I'd agree. I agree with all points of that statement too. The not trusting Kapler part could be Jake McGee, for all we know, because he's healthy again, even though he's terrible. But you know, it's just you never know. And the Giants, they're not like, I mean, let's face it, they're not the Reds, they're not the A's, they're not that bad, but they're not the same team as last year either.
No, but they always find themselves in close games, no matter when they're good or bad. Yeah. They're always finding themselves in close games. I picked up Leon for $5. It's one of those things, like, I'll see what happens the next week and kind of go with it. But I think he's someone that, you know, might be usable in a, if he shares the job situation too. Like, if he can get, you know, I don't know, 8 or 10 saves, I think it works really well. If he doesn't, if he's not, he's back pitching the 6th or 7th inning, I just drop him in a week too. I think it was a $5 stab, but I thought it was the right time to do it right now.
I'd agree with that. One other note on Daniel Hudson. Kimbrel pitched 2 innings today.
Yeah.
So, although I think the Dodgers, they finished their 31-30 stretch, they're probably off tomorrow, but so it might not matter. But
the Dodgers are off tomorrow, and they go to Chicago and then back to San Francisco for the weekend. That's a tough trip right there.
Yeah, but don't be surprised if Hudson gets a chance to pitch at least one ninth inning here at some point in time.
And he's pitched really well too. Where Kimbrel's kind of been a little sketchy in some outings, but you look at Kimbrel, ERA is 4.5, but still a 31% strikeout rate, 8.5% walk rate. So they keep him in the walks control, which usually the key with him. But that strikeout rate's down over 10% from last year. He's not quite the same guy he was in 2020, at least so far.
No, and you know that's the nature of relievers too. There's wild swings in performance.
The other name that I would certainly keep my eye on, I actually picked him up in one main event for a couple bucks, is actually AJ Puck in Oakland, who's been very, very good. And Danny Jimenez, who has been good, has kind of hit a few road bumps here in the last 10 days. So he gave up 4 runs against the Astros. He gave up 4 runs and 2 innings against Texas. That's the last 2 series. So that's 8 runs in his last, I'm doing the math, 2 1/3 innings. Has been really good until then, but Puck's ERA is like 1.4, something like that. He gave up a home run today to Rafael Devers, which, you know, no harm done there. He's kind of, you know, he's gotten many a good pitcher, but I think Puck is at the point where he's pitching really well, and the A's might want to see if he could be the guy to close kind of going forward. And I think maybe they give him a shot to do that in the second half.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing it.
Yeah. What about hitters, Jeff? First guy I want to mention, someone I picked up last week, but only 68% rostered in the main event. John Birdie in Florida is playing a lot for the Marlins. They had some guys go on the IL. They've had some guys not playing well. He led off today. He's kind of moves around. He plays second, third, play the outfield. Just someone, though, if you need stolen bases, he already has. We talked about him, and remember, 2019 was a big season for him. He had 17 steals and only in about half a season. Already 7 steals in 25 games. When he gets on base, dude runs.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember, you know, was it 2020 or 2019 where 19. He had like 19, where he had the month of birdie, basically there.
He won some people some leagues in that month of birdie.
Yep. They just finished their Coors Field trip, so there is that. But yeah, he's getting the playing time. Joey Wendell's hamstring injury is going to keep him out a while, getting a PRP injection for that.
Yep.
So birdie's got a little bit of an opportunity here. If he can stick the landing, he could keep the job for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and I think he's a guy that can play in so many spots that they're just like, oh, this guy needs a day off, or, you know, Garrett Cooper or Jesus Aguirre, somebody needs a day off, we'll just throw birdie in there. And, you know, if he plays 5 times a week, I think he can really help you with steals, and steals are always hard to find. So I do like him as an ad, especially we talk a lot about the get the guys that are eligible at corner and middle, and he's one of those. I mean, you can play him at second or third. Corner middle is a backup. It kind of saves you a roster spot, which is really important. You're talking about, you know, your bench right now. You got a lot of guys are injured. A guy like that can really help kind of save you a spot there.
Yeah, it can.
How do you feel about in Minnesota? Alex Kirilloff came up, went down, had the wrist injury. He's been hitting really well in AAA. Someone that was a pretty big prospect coming up, hit for a lot of average in the minors in 2018, 2019, hitting .337 so far in AAA. Do you think Kirilloff comes up quickly here now that he looks like he's healthy? And how much do you like him if he does get called up?
I like him. You know, just trying to guess what the Twins are doing right now is difficult because they had guys on the restricted list this week. You know, it makes it harder to kind of, you know, guess who's really hurt, who's just out because they're not vaccinated. Twins seem to be one of the teams hit hardest by that, actually. So
they had 5 guys that didn't make the trip to Toronto, something like that.
And no Pagan, no, yeah.
So funny. I looked today and I was like, oh, the Twins 1-1. Did Pagan get the save? It took me a while to realize that he wasn't even there.
No, he did not get the save.
Yeah, you just I can't get in my head like, oh, they're playing at Toronto. It's one of those things. I just automatically look at the box score. But what else did you do with hitters this week? Were you interested in Luis Garcia with the Nationals coming up? And it looks like he's going to play fairly regularly for them at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's about time. We've been talking about this. Like, yeah. Why should Alcides Escobar be playing? You know, why should, you know, half these guys that have no future, why are they in there? But, you know, Garcia, he batted ninth today. So we'll see. I mean, he was crushing in the minors, though. 899 OPS. You know, we've talked about this before, that one of the big failings for the Nats is they followed up that World Series with letting Rendon go and Carter Kieboom not really performing. Victor Robles not performing. Garcia is only 22 years old. That's one of the things to remember. Like, we get a little impatient with these guys. Like, these guys never develop. They've barely had a chance to.
Crazy, because he's been in the minors with them since 2017. So he was there really, really young. But certainly his hit for average at almost every level. The only time he didn't was in the majors last year when they did call him up. But I mean, that's, you know, first trip to the majors, and he still struck out 70%, so didn't strike out a lot. Seems like he's someone that could help you with average. You know, you wish maybe he stole a little bit more. He's got, I think he had like one steal in the minors last year. So maybe he had 11 in 2019 in Double A. But it's hard because he doesn't have a lot of pop, doesn't have a lot of speed. So you have to hope that, you really have to hope the batting average and runs are there. Otherwise, it's kind of a few dead spots there.
Yeah, that's true. And so you kind of just, like Michael Franco homered. But then again, they hit in Cincinnati. We just talked about what a launching pad Cincinnati is. And the Red Staff is a walking, talking launching pad in their own right, too.
What about anybody else you picked up hitting-wise in the outfield? You know, Lane Thomas had the 3-home-run game that was obviously massive. He was available.
Yeah.
Nomar Mazara got called up by the Padres. I thought we were kind of done with Nomar Mazara in our lives. Jace Peterson in Milwaukee, eligible everywhere, has been hitting for a little bit of pop, running a little bit. I like Taylor Trammell in Seattle, former elite top prospect, I think for your Reds, right?
Yep, he was. They got traded to the Padres, and then from the Padres to the Mariners. And it seemed like every subsequent trade, his prospect status was a little lower. Struggled a lot last season.
Has stole like 40 bases in the past. He's got some speed and obviously hasn't come around, but someone that I think is a little bit of upside there. It seems like he's playing every day for Seattle. It seems like maybe he's somebody you get hot for a bit. Who are you guys looking at kind of in the offensive pickups in the
outfield? Pretty quiet on the offensive sides, at least in the 15s. Brandon Belt we got in one league, actually.
In a 15?
Yeah, in the main, someone had dropped him. And, you know, it's not a slam dunk he's going to be back anytime soon.
Yeah.
Or what version of Brandon Belt we're going to get. There's a lot of different stories the way this could go with him. But
and there's no way he ever gets hurt again, right?
Like, no, he'll be a rock. He'll be fine.
It looks like he began some running progressions a couple days ago, whatever the heck that means. He's hitting a batting cage on Monday. So it sounds like, you know, if that progresses and he kind of doesn't hit any other setbacks, maybe like a 10 days kind of thing. But I think that's an ad that could make a difference. Maybe someone that was really good last year, 29 home runs last year, finally had that power breakout we're waiting for. Ton of hard contact the last couple of years. I like that as an added 15 if you have a spot where you can kind of stash him and hide him for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Did you any interest in Austin Meadows? He was 78% rostered in 12 teamers, so he was available in probably about 20% of the online championship leagues. Hit his first homer of the season, actually. He hadn't hit one any in Detroit. His first homer in AAA on Saturday. Has been feeling good, though. Like, that's the most important thing. The vertigo seems to be gone.
Yeah.
Obviously, you hope it sticks that way, but tough guy to figure. I mean, he had 27 home runs and 106 RBIs last year. Like, a really big power year, but he hit .234, struggled against lefties. Moved to Detroit, has no home runs, no stolen bases through 116 plate appearances. So, I mean, that's killing you if you're starting.
Combo of Meadows and Grossman has been gross, man.
It really has. Grossman's been brutal.
Yeah, I mean, 2020 last year, and it's like 0-0 this year.
Yeah. Did you look at him at 12? I don't know if he was available in yours, but what do you do with a guy like that? Is it like someone like, oh, well, you know, the talent's been there, the skills have been there. Do I pick him up? Do I figure maybe something's wrong? Like, what I was kind of in between. I put some small, meager bids on him, but I wasn't super aggressive about it.
On Meadows or Grossman?
On Meadows. I'd actually drop Grossman to league. He went on the IL, and I finally just said forget it.
Smart. I think with Meadows, I think I have him. He was on my IL. I'll probably activate him in time, but I'm not happy about it. I have 10 guys on the IL in that league where it's an IL league, obviously. Labor. where I have just, I'm just racked by injury. So happy to have anyone back.
Yeah, that it just can get tough and it snowballs on you and there's not much you can do. At least you have an aisle, at least you have aisle spots there. Yep. Let's see. Any other hitters? Jose Miranda came up when Royce Lewis went under the wall, hit a couple home runs. Kyle Farmer, your Cincinnati Reds shortstop, has been coming on a little bit. Any interest in either of those two guys?
Marginal. Miranda in particular has some interest. Farmer, maybe I'm too close as a Reds fan that, you know, I know, every once in a while I'll sneak in and hit a homer, but for the most part, it's just low power. But, you know, he's actually had some barrels lately. I think, who was it that was writing about him? But I think it was, I want to say it was Eric Samuelski. And I'm really sorry if I totally butchered your name. I know I totally did, but, his Sunday Tribune, he writes, and, I thought that he mentioned Kyle Farmer as like a guy that's made had a lot of barrels lately. I think he is the one that wrote about him. If not, as someone else, well, then I'm sorry too. Doubly sorry.
Yeah, it felt like it was a weird week with Fab. Like there were a lot of like smaller names, but there wasn't aside from Cabrera, there weren't like a ton of high bids. But it's weird. In my Vegas main, it is a super active league. We had five guys go for over 70. Dakota Hudson, Trent Grisham was available in the league, went for 77. Eduardo Rodriguez got dropped. He went for 82. Garcia, 87. Aroldis, I mentioned earlier, 151. It's funny how some leagues just get I was way off my pitching bids. I wanted to add a pitcher there. I was way off on bids because everybody went way higher than I was ready to go, and that just kind of happens some weeks.
Yeah, we had two $75 ones in one of mine and zero in the other. So
yeah,
funny how it's just being in that particular league. Now, and both leagues, they are very active collectively. A lot of players, just a lot of small ball being played.
Yeah, I had both my main events had a ton of bids this week. It was just all kind of, there was a lot of bids like under $30 this week. Cause I think people start to realize, you know, the money's dwindling down a little bit, maybe you need to cut back a little bit. People are kind of trying to slide people through it at a smaller amount.
Yeah. I played a little bit of small ball this week as well.
I want to talk real quick before we get out of here about some tough drops. You know, it gets to the season, we're 2 months in. You got to figure out what you want to do with players. And, you know, you took them high, you drafted them high. There's only so much you can do. You know, that draft price has been paid. It's gone. It's a sunk cost at this point. You know, you drop somebody, you got to drop somebody. Starting with Trevor Rogers in Miami. This is one that is hurting me right now. I drafted him very, very high. I don't know if it was min pick, but close to the min pick. I reached for him. I was at the turn and I had needed a pitcher. I've really liked him last year. It has been really rough this year. Strikeout rates down, walk rates up, ERA's 5.8. He got smoked in Coors this week. Obviously didn't start that one. But what do you do with someone like this who obviously was really good last year? 2.64 ERA in 133 innings. How long are you waiting for someone like this? It's shown it in the past, but clearly not. There's nothing showing right now at all.
I mean, the velocity is not down. At least it wasn't earlier. I need to check his last start, but
overall it's the same, but it seems like his secondary offerings, his changeup was really good last year. It's just not the same as it was last year.
No. And I wonder just how quickly is that fixable? Because it's not like, you know, it's not like it's a pitching coach issue. I don't think it is. Sandy has pitched very well. Pablo Lopez has pitched very well.
Yep.
Cabrera is the hot pickup this week. So
yep.
I'm holding him. I'm holding Rogers. I'm going to be pretty stubborn about this one here.
I'm holding him too. I mean, I took him in the 4 or 5 turns. It's a pretty big investment. Again, that isn't, at this point, doesn't really matter.
Is that Vegas main?
That's Vegas main.
Okay.
But 33% whiff rate in the changeup last year, 22% this year. It's still a good pitch. I mean, the batting average again, still 203, XBA 223, just not getting the whiffs. And, you know, you don't get those strikeouts. There's guys on base, and it's just, I don't know. I'm holding for a bit. I think I'm throwing him this week. They face Washington. If I can't use that, then maybe I need to get rid of him. But you hate to drop a guy you took in the fifth round that you know has this much upside. I think I'm a hold for a while. But in a 12 teamer, it's probably getting close to that bridge.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Someone who I am more willing to drop, and I dropped in 12 teamers, and you know, about 8 rounds later, is Ranger Suarez. We talked about him a little bit last week. I actually have him in my main event team. We were talking about that's high up there. I had a bid in for – he was actually my drop. He was my drop for Cabrera. I didn't get Cabrera, so I held on to Suarez. Do you see anything here that makes you optimistic about him going forward? Because I really don't.
I don't. And I actually kind of feel bad that I didn't see this coming. That, you know, last year, even in his breakout season, some of the underlying metrics didn't support the ERA. And that's on me. You know, and this is a guy that, you know, last year jumps off the page as the anomaly.
It does. You look at it, like every number sticks out as like so much different than the rest of his career. And maybe I just kind of figured maybe he had found something and figured it out. Like he was so good for so long last year. And yeah, he's very much on my fringe. I think he's a drop for me in 12s and the slightest of ever of holds in a 15. But I think one or two more weeks, that might not be the case anymore, depending if I get someone. I think he's very close to the drop list for me.
At Milwaukee, home against Arizona this week. I almost feel like this is a last stand sort of situation here.
It's a pretty good setup. I'm throwing it. If it's bad, he's probably gone. If it's good, he maybe earns a place back. But I think I was at the point where I'm either dropping it or throwing it. And I tried to drop it for only one guy, but I would have put more conditions in if I didn't want to throw it. So I'm gonna throw it, see what happens. And if it's bad, he probably goes off my team next week.
Yeah, I think that's a fair construction.
A hitter, Yoan Moncada in Chicago is someone that we were very excited about 3 years ago. A lot of people were excited about him this year. Kind of thought the bounce back was coming.
Yep.
He was injured. He's certainly, you know, just kind of back now. But 77 plate appearances so far, Jeff. He's hitting 135. He has two home runs. He has no stolen base. He is not a stolen base guy anymore. Anybody those are gone. He had two double-digit times in the past. He's stolen three bases the last 3 years. I mean, that's kind of out the window. Hard hit rate is really low, 32.7%. K rate's up to 28.6%. Walk rate's 2.6%. I get it, 77 plate appearances, but they have been a rough 77 plate appearances. Are you on the drop bus here yet?
On the bench bus, but not drop bus, I think. I think there's a possibility to try to come back too quickly. The team needs me. Other guys have been hurt. You know, the timing of his injury was pretty unfortunate. Jake Berger has played okay.
Yeah.
He's had his moments. So they have a replacement. A
big home run earlier this week. It feels like when his hits come, they come in big spots at least.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm at least entering the conversation now that of whether to drop or not to drop, but I'm even holding on to him in 12s right now. I'm stubborn that way.
I used to really like Moncada. He was one of my targets a couple of years ago. I was off this year. I think I'm dropping 12 and holding a 15, but it's been a long time of him not just doing, just doesn't done much since 2019.
Yeah, but you're not put to the test on this one because you don't have him anymore.
Not put to the test, which makes it a lot easier to make that decision, doesn't it?
Yep.
It's more fun when you are put to the test on someone. What about in Chicago? I don't think he's quite droppable yet, but Seiya Suzuki started really well. Has been really bad since. In May, he had no home runs, hit 211. He's obviously not. He had two stolen bases. He throws a few stolen bases in there. He's on the IL now with the fingers, hitting a batting cage today. Are you still a hold on Suzuki for the time being?
His fingers are not like arrows. Sorry, Stranger Things reference there. I haven't watched that yet.
I watched the first season, and it was a little too sci-fi-y for me.
Okay. Well, then it's going to continue in that path, but there's a character that has had a pretty funny line about that.
So. I heard the new season was very good. Is that true?
It is good. It is very good. But Seiya Suzuki's had four homers this year. Like the three of them were like in the first week.
I would say, did it feel like they were all on opening weekend?
Yeah, I feel it definitely feels that way. Last 21 days, no homers. It might've all been that first week. And they realized you can't go middle.
Yeah.
It's just a little slower. Not so hard.
His last home run was April 17th, and he had three in the first four games.
Yep. He was one of the big names in baseball, and you know he's going to counter adjust at some point, but he's not there yet.
I think I'm holding, especially in a 15, but he's probably on drop watch also.
Yeah.
It's a tough one because he's injured, but where are you right now? And I don't think you can drop me yet, but where are you on Anthony Rendon right now? He's got this, the wrist swelling and inflammation are, quote, subsiding. It sounds like it's progressing the right way, but man, Rendon's been really bad the last couple of years. It's only about 100 games, but he's hitting about 240. He had six home runs last year, had five home runs this year and two stolen bases. Obviously extremely disappointing for the Angels signing him. He's got 20 home runs total for the Angels in 3 years. Like it's been rough when he's on the field. It's been obviously rough because he hasn't been on the field a lot. Where are you on Anthony Rendon right now? Do you consider him still a pretty strong hold, or where will you be him in like a 12 team?
I should have, you know, probably one of those that I'm like, I should have thought about dropping him 3 weeks ago, but now that I've gone this far, let's hold him.
I have him in yogurt, and I was the same way. Like, if I look back, like, I probably just should drop him 3 weeks ago, but I've held him now. I might as well just stick to it, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Justin Mason noted that he started watching The Americans. He had a poll on Twitter about what he should watch next, and I was one that suggested The Americans, one of my favorite shows over the last 10 years for sure.
I forcefully agreed with you on that one.
Oh, nice. I like it. Yeah, I thought the last like 6 episodes of last season were among the best like finale stretches any show's ever had.
Yeah. And I think you even mentioned the penultimate season was a little.
Yeah.
Little eh.
You kind of felt like they knew they had 2 seasons left. They kind of dragged some things to get to the ending. But yeah, that was the only spot that I thought really, really slowed down. But lastly, Trent Grisham. And we mentioned that he was available in one of my main events. It's been a rough go for Trent Grisham the last couple of years. He really showed well in 2020, I believe, the short season. He had 10 home runs, 10 stolen bases in only 60 games. Last year was not bad. 15 home runs, 13 stolen bases, but he hit .242. Hard hit went down. Just kind of the stuff I was excited about kind of went away. Barrel got cut in half. Hard hit went down 5%. It's all gotten worse again. His hard hit rate's down to 27%. He has 3 home runs. He did have a big home run this week and late in the game. 1 stolen base, hitting .176. I used to love Trent Grisham. I'm kind of out now. I dropped him in a 12, I think. I was in on the bidding in a 15, but really tepid bidding. Kind of the thought that, you know, maybe he'll get hot again. He's a speed power guy, but hitting the bottom of the order a lot of nights for San Diego. I just, I'm not in on this one.
Finally got his first stolen base. If he was cut, I wouldn't go after him. I may not cut him yet, but definitely.
I was put to the test. There's a 15 teamer. I'm like, do I want to be aggressive about this guy that was taken in the whatever it was, you know, 9th, 10th, 11th round? And as I look closer, I really don't like what I see this year. I just think I think it's getting worse rather than better too.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And when Tatis comes back, he might be out of a spot.
Yeah, he should be. I mean, now Will Myers is hurt right now, so the spot's there. But I just don't love what I saw. A couple of quick news and notes before we jump out of here. I guess the biggest news over the weekend was Grayson Rodriguez, the big stud prospect that kind of felt like some quotes, like was close to getting called up. I know there are people that are saving some fab money, like I'm going to go all in for this guy because they didn't get George Kirby or someone like that. May not return this season. Grade 2 lat strain. Obviously, they will be uber, uber careful with him. But just a kind of a bummer overall as a baseball fan because I was looking forward to seeing what Grayson Rodriguez had.
Yeah, likewise. As soon as we saw – you know, you saw the note that, okay, he's gotten pulled and it's with a trainer. So you're like, okay, we know it's not because he's gotten called up. Right. And then, minimum of 6 weeks. Oh, out for the season, basically. Yeah. Pretty ugly progression.
It was because his strikeout rates are huge. ERA is really low. He was going to be fun and he was going to get called. It sounded like the quotes, he's going to get called up pretty quick. So that's it's a bummer there. Taylor Ward, one of the bigger stories so far this season on the success side. Went on the aisle with a right hamstring saying, Jeff, Joe Adell got called up. Were you in any bidding for Joe Adell?
No, I was not. But in a lot of places.
I was not either. And I was someone that liked him early in the year. And I'm kind of over it right now.
Yeah.
I mean, strikeout rate was 32% in AAA after going down.
Like, yeah, that's not just good.
He has a ton of power. He can hit when he hits it. But, man, the strikeout rate is just going to be – I think it's just always going to be an issue.
Yeah.
I mean, until it's not, but as of right now, it certainly still is. Couple of pitching notes. Tyler McGill, the baby goat, as we call him, had a rehab outing on Sunday. Looked really good. 3 2/3, 5 strikeouts, touch 98. Might need one more, might be back for this weekend. But that's big news there because McGill was one of the really good stories the first like 5 or 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah, and with Max Scherzer's non-setback.
Was that the weirdest, like, said, like, he got bit by a dog on his non-pitching hand, and it was on his pitching hand. They said it wasn't a big deal. It was just kind of a crazy, strange Twitter. Yeah. When they get reporting stuff, it always cracks me up. But it seems like he's fine.
Yeah. Looks like it.
Yeah. Clayton Kershaw pitched today for the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes. I think he threw 59 pitches. And Dave Roberts, after the Dodgers game, said that Kershaw's next outing will be with the Dodgers. So it sounds like next weekend we'll see Kershaw back with the big team.
Yeah, and you can see it. I mean, like they probably don't want to have too much of Mitchell White. They wouldn't mind actually giving Buehler an extra day rest, giving their whole staff a little bit of an extra day rest.
Rough week for Walker Buehler. He did not pitch well this week.
No, he did.
With his 2-start week.
Yep. I think I tweeted this. I don't have Buehler anywhere, so I'm not worried about him, but I'm worried about him.
Yeah, that makes sense. If you have Kershaw in the league, are you starting him with the thought that he's going to pitch Sunday? He threw 60 pitches today, thought maybe 75 to 80 next week at the Giants on Sunday. Are you throwing that start if you have to make your decision tomorrow?
I think so. I think, I mean, if it's M's pitching staff, no.
Right.
For most of us, probably, yeah.
Most of us mortals are starting him in a 12-teamer. Maybe I'm seeing what my options are. Maybe throwing a closer instead or something like that. But I think in a 15, he's definitely a start for me, and probably most of my 12s, he's probably making that start too. I think 75 pitches of Kershaw, you have him. Who knows how much he's going to pitch, how many starts he's going to make. I think I'm going to want every one of them and make sure they're on my team.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that.
Eloy Jimenez said that they said that, quote, his legs are not ready yet. Remember, he needs a few more days. I think maybe we'll see him by the next weekend is kind of the hope, I think.
Yeah, I mean, take your time, do it right at this point in time. Yeah,
right. You just don't want any more tweaks there. Both Dylan Carlson and Tyler O'Neill in St. Louis. Sounds like they'll definitely be up by the weekend. Could be activated for the next series. Sounds like both their rehabs are going well. Tyler O'Neill especially actually is kind of ahead of schedule at the moment.
Yeah, 2/3 of their outfield is out, so other people have to step up. But I really want to see some more. All the original starters. I want to see Tyler O'Neill back. I want to see all these guys back.
Yeah. Jeff, do you know when Joe Ryan is pitching again? Because I'd like to know.
No, I mean, it was legit COVID, apparently.
Yeah, he threw off a mound this weekend, throwing a bullpen Monday or Tuesday. Might need a rehab start. I mean, that's how far he's missed, like 2.5 weeks now.
Honestly, so, you want that rehab start, though, because you know whose next opponent is?
The Yankees.
Yeah.
Yeah. I looked at that and I'm like, I better make sure that I have a ninth pitcher for that spot because I don't think I want to throw Joe Ryan off 3 weeks against the Yankees anyway. So I kind of hope he goes down for rehab so I can throw him the next week anyway. But that would be a good arm to get back because he was McGill. He was one of those guys that was really good the first 5 or 6 weeks. It was really helpful. It would be nice to get him back.
100%.
Jeff, anybody else that in the baseball world that you want to talk about?
No. Oh, I just want to, hey, this is Striker Cast, so wanted to congratulate you on your resounding win. I mean, no, your good start so far.
Yeah, it's like I said, a good start's better than a bad start. But man, it's baseball. We got 4 months to go. There's a lot of movement yet to happen. But I'm sure I should rather have those 2 months of stats banked than not, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I can't enjoy it and be happy about it without talking about it a lot. So anybody out there, Yancey Eaton, who thinks I'm not happy about it, thinks it's going to be jinxed, just a matter. I don't like to talk about it, but I am very happy with the start and enjoying every day of it.
Yes.
Beautiful. Well, Jeff, always fun to chat baseball with you on a Sunday night. Next week, you're here or not here?
I will be on the Emerald Isle.
So I didn't know what day you left, so we'll have to. I'm going to find a fantastic host. Nobody can fill your shoes, but I'll find someone to partially fill your shoes. How about that?
Thank you. You're too kind.
Beautiful. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you want to follow Jeff on Twitter, hear all about Ireland. The Twitter handle is at Jeff_Erickson. I am at Scott Jenstead. We can chat there. If you have any other baseball questions, any other sports questions, always willing to talk there. Thanks to the nice comments in the chat. We always appreciate those. Thanks for a good show. All that. We really thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching live. Thank you for everybody who's listening on the audio version. Also, again, rate or review always helps us out. Other than that, hope everybody has a fantastic week. I'll be back actually next Sunday with a guest yet to be named. And then Jeff will be back 2 weeks after that. Hope everybody has a really great week and take care.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.